Good day, everyone, and welcome to Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast, episode 16. I am your host, Pete Castanis, and this program is brought to you by Reggie Candy Bar. And here is a commercial from 1978.
Reggie Jackson. An outstanding World Series. 3 home runs in 1 game.
Now that was a day I'll never forget. And it helped me to get my own candy hit. Reggie, with a rich caramel center, lots of fresh roasted peanuts, and a super chocolatey covering. Reggie, the candy they named after me. Mmm. Reggie, you taste pretty good.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, thank you for joining me. I hope you enjoyed that commercial. I will talk about the Reggie Candy Bar in a couple minutes. First, I want to talk about what's happening to me this week. I went to my urologist a couple days ago for my 3-month checkup. I had prostate cancer in December of 2019, and I've had the surgery and the radiation. So I visited him a couple days ago, like I said before, and he told me that my PSA level elevated just a bit. He was very concerned and worried, so he's going to prescribe me some medicine that's hormone therapy. I had a choice between an injection and pills, so he suggested I would take them orally, and they've been approved by the FDA about a couple of years ago, maybe last year. And he told me they were 85% effective, so they should work. That should go down. So I should be receiving them in the mail shortly and start taking them. And then the next appointment I will see him will be at the end of June. So we'll see then. Hopefully it'll work. You know, get my fingers crossed and I pray everything will be fine. Okay. Today I would talk about a few things. As I said previously, I played the Reggie Candy Bar commercial, and that was for Reggie Jackson. And I'll talk a little bit about him. I'll talk about the candy bar because he's had a long biography. And the candy bar was introduced in 1976, and Reggie Jackson played for the New York Yankees at the time. And someone went up to him and said, we're going to, you know, market a candy bar after your name. And he said, fine. And I remember the candy bar very well, and it was a circular bar with peanuts dipped in caramel, covered in chocolate. What can go wrong with that? It was so delicious. I've had it a couple times when I was a kid. Used to buy them at the Edwards drugstore near my old house, and Crestline Pharmacy right on the southwest side. And didn't last very long. And his career ended in 1981, and I believe the candy bar ended as well. So fans still clamor for it, you know, and people who love candy bars wish it would come back. But I have a feeling there's some out there that is similar to that. So that's for Reggie Jackson to introduce us a candy bar. I can't think of any other celebrity offhand who has done that, you know, that endorsed it or, you know, named after, but there's so many, so I won't go into that. Okay. Now I will talk about something else. I will talk about a post that I posted a couple of days ago, and it was the Elfish Furniture Store. Now, that store was very famous in the Chicagoland area. I'll read a little biography of it. Excuse me. And the man who opened the store, his name was David Fish, and he opened his first furniture store in 1858. Oh, that's a long time. So, and it was on State Street. Don't know where exactly. And he wanted to name the company after his wife, but he changed his mind. And so he just put her first initial. So it's L. Dot Fish. So that's very nice. Anyway, his first wife's name was Lotta. You know, very unusual name. So you would buy some furniture at the Lotta Fish furniture store. Sounds kind of funny. And it has been around for a long, long time. It opened a lot of stores. I remember a few locations. One was downtown. Maybe it was on State Street but I remember it was on Wabash, a block away. And I remember it was in the Inglewood neighborhood, excuse me, at 63rd and Halsted. And I posted a picture, the post I was talking about earlier, and that store was located in Elmwood Park on Grand Avenue, west of Harlem. And the last store I remember located was in Oaklawn at 95th. South of 95th Street and Cicero Avenue at the Green Oaks Shopping Center. I remember that very well. And people remember buying furniture there. Most of it was pretty good. Quality was wonderful. A couple people claim it was cheap, but, you know, that's their opinion. But there were some commercials airing. I remember that. And it was in business for a long time. And I don't remember who bought the company. I think it was Helig Myers, I believe. You know, someone could correct me on that. And there is still one store left, but it's not in Chicago. It is in Indianapolis, and it's run by David Fish's great-great-grandson. So if you're in the Indianapolis neighborhood area, or you're visiting there, you can stop by and take a look at it. I don't have the address, so maybe he's there and you can walk in and ask him about his ancestors or the history of the company, which would be very interesting. Okay. Another thing I will talk about is I found out last night that actor Johnny Crawford passed away. He was well known for playing Mark McCain in the TV Western, The Rifleman, which I used to watch the show all the time, the reruns, that is. And it was shown on Channel 32 for many years during the 70s. And later on, I think it went into Channel 50. I don't remember being on Channel 9. I don't think it was on WGN. I don't think it aired there at all. And he was a very talented young man. And he started out as a musketeer. And I don't know how long he was there, probably for a little while, probably in the beginning of the show. I could look up his biography real quick. Yeah, he was one, but yeah, he was only there for the first year. And they were about 24 musketeers, but they cut it down to 12. And later on, he just started on The Rifleman. And he had a brother. He was an actor, too, and he started in the TV Western Laramie. I don't know if people remember that. I have the show on DVD, and it's a pretty good show. He started in probably the third, fourth season, and his name was Robert Crawford Jr., and I believe he's still alive, and he continued to act, I believe. For Johnny Crawford, he acted in a lot of TV shows after Rifleman. His chemistry with Chuck Connors in the show was magic. It was wonderful. They acted like a real father and son. And there wasn't much violence, maybe not every episode, but sometimes his character would do something that his father didn't approve. And, you know, because he was hasty or, you know, didn't think, but Chuck Connors' character, he was a wonderful father figure. Always gave great advice. And let's see, the show, let me see about the show, how long it lasted. It started from 1958 and ended in 1963, so it ran for about 5 years. And then after Rifleman ended, Johnny Crawford starred in a lot of shows. And then in the 90s, he started a orchestra, and he performed in the orchestra, and they played big band music, which I love that music very much, you know, from the probably the 30s and 40s. And he did that for quite a while. And then in 2019, he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, and that was very sad. And he passed away yesterday at the age of 75. So that was very sad. And I posted a cover of Chicago Sun-Times TV Preview Magazine. And that was dated, August 16th through the 22nd, 1959. And luckily I found that, and I posted it on my pages, and a lot of people commented they loved the show, they remembered him, and reruns of The Rifleman will live on forever. So he's immortal in TV land. So that's very nice. Okay. Another thing I will talk about is Chicago Cubs broadcasters on WGN. Now, I posted a post of a book which featured Jack Brickhouse and other famous TV announcers that spoke during the Cubs game. So let me pull that up. And I found an edition from 1969. And I believe these were released every year. I don't know the whole story. And it was called Baseball Records by Jack Brickhouse and the WGN Radio and Television Sports Staff. So that's real cool and interesting. I will talk a little bit about that. Some people know that I'm not much of a baseball fan. It's a wonderful game. People love it. It's America's national pastime. I hope I got it right. That's what so much I know about baseball. As growing up as a kid in Chicago, I remember seeing the baseball games on WGN, not much on Channel 32. And later on, the White Sox went on to Channel 44. And the announcer I most recognized was Jack Brickhouse. He was there forever. You know, he started on television in the 40s, probably when WGN first went on the air in 1948 in April. And so he was there from the 40s, 50s, all the way until 1981. I think he retired. I think he did. And so I'll read off a few announcers that I remember, not all of them because there were so many, but I remember some well-known ones, and maybe maybe you would remember. I'll start from the 50s. I will do that. There was from the 50s, it was Bert Wilson. There was Harry Creighton. There was Vince Lloyd. He would say, "Holy mackerel." Well, I think I heard that one time. There was someone else named Jack Quinlan, Lou Bordeaux, "Kiss it goodbye," he says. Milo Hamilton, who had said, "Holy Toledo." And there was Lloyd Pettit. And he was there from the 60s. Most of the 60s he was on. He was, I liked him. He was very nice. He looked like a very nice man. You see him on the news and WGN. And there was also Jim West during the 70s. I don't know what happened to him. And of course, in the 80s, we had Harry Carey, who was on the White Sox during the 70s on Channel 44. He used to have it, like I said before, on a previous podcast episode, he advertised Falstaff beer, which was funny. And, you know, what can you say about Harry Carey? There's a lot of descriptions about him. I won't go into that. So and others was Steve Stone. He was there in the 80s. Let's see who else. Ron Santo did some broadcasting. Tom Brenneman in the 90s. There was Pat Hughes. He's still there. I think he's still there. And there was Harry Carey's son, Chip Carey. And he said, swung on and belted, fisted. I don't know what that meant. And and Pat Hughes said, this ball's got a chance. Gone. Get out the tape measure. Long gone. I don't know what that was about, but that's what he said. I'm sure baseball fans would know that. And let's see. During the 2000s, there weren't a lot of them. The one we know mostly is Len Kapsper. So he was on WGN for quite a while, a long time. And they were like baseball players that substitute the announcers when either they were sick or they were out of town or they passed away suddenly. Some were Mark Grace, Ryan Dempster, a lot of baseball players. And Ryan Sandberg, of course. So my memories of watching, I didn't really watch the baseball games, like I said, but usually when a baseball game ended, they would go into the 10th inning. And Jack Parkhouse or any baseball announcer will have a special guest, and they will discuss the game. And that would last about 10 to 15 minutes. They would run a commercial in between. And then usually if the Cubs broadcast a game, say at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, it would end about 4 o'clock, 4:30. They would air the 10th inning show, and then they would resume whatever scheduled programming was there. Like, for example, Gilligan's Island, the Flintstones, any rerun that was on. Mostly I remember those two. And it would be like in mid, right in the middle of the episode. And then, of course, they broadcast at night. And they did that sometimes late at night, or usually at 7 o'clock. Or they would have a doubleheader. They would do that. WGN does not air baseball anymore, which, in my opinion, that's very sad, because it's a legacy. It's an institution, I don't know if I'll come back. We'll see. I doubt it. I hope so. But it's a real blow to a baseball fan, especially Chicago Cubs. But you can still listen to them on the radio, and they're on the Marquee Sports Network now, or any cable channel like TBS or TNT, you would find them. So that'll be it for today. I want to mention one more thing. This week is Holy Week. Today is Good Friday. Usually I'll go to church at night, but with the pandemic, you need a reservation to go. But I'll be staying home. I still have bathroom issues with my condition, but they're getting much better. So I can't take a chance on that. So for Good Friday and Holy Saturday, which has the resurrection service, which starts at 11:30, it's at midnight, I will be staying home. I won't be going. Hopefully I'll watch it on TV. They usually stream it. And then Sunday's Easter Sunday, and I will have I'll have a wonderful dinner, and it'll be a beautiful, and I heard the weather will be gorgeous, so it'll be a lovely Easter. And that's all for now. This is Pete Costanis. This is Van Chicagoland Stories, the podcast, episode 16. To my Greek friends, I would like to wish you Kali Anastasi and Kalos Pascha. That means happy resurrection, happy resurrection, or happy Easter. My Greek gets rusty when I get older. I apologize for that. So I'm signing off right now and hope to hear from you soon. And here is Ray Rayner saying bye-bye for now. And take care and goodbye for now. Thank you.
We have to go. Bye-bye-bye.